Jack of All Nerds is recorded in front of a dead studio audience.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. With us any rule, we'll break it.
It's 8 p.m., kiddies, and you know what that means.
Guy love, he's mine, I'm his. There's nothing gay about it in our eyes.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Oh no, guys! It's Mel Vitor! We need Krispy Kreme Megazord power now!
Welcome back to more Cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
Are you the doctor?
No, I'm the nurse.
Where is he?
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time. Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Hello, and welcome to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me for the first time in what seems like a week...
It has seemed that long.
Yeah. Derek Murray, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And also, back from sabbatical, Danny Anthony, everybody.
I took a short hiatus.
You did. And it was blissful, I got to tell you. I mean, aside from all the technical issues that plagued the show, it was phenomenal.
All right. Yeah, I want to say we missed you, but I
really did not.
I don't want to lie. I'm trying to work on this thing where I don't lie to people. And
take it easy, John Snow.
How's that going for you?
It's good so far.
Tonight on the show, guys, we are going to be talking about a show that has the internet ablaze right now. And its finale that everyone is talking about...
Game of Thrones.
No.
Oh.
The Defenders.
Oh, right. Sorry. That's what I was watching. Got yes. It. Okay. All right. Cool.
So not that.
Okay.
We're not gonna ruin your Game of Thrones experience.
tonight.
But we are going to ruin your Defenders experience because we've given you a week, everybody. So you've had plenty of time to watch this very short season of television. It's an HBO season, actually. 8 episodes?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk all about that. We've all seen it through, and we've got some feels about it. Good, bad, in between. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to mention some Overwatch news, some stuff that we didn't talk about the last time we brought up Overwatch. Other than that, just glad to have you guys back.
Aw. That wasn't sincere at all.
No, okay, that was... Guess I'm not winning the Oscar tonight. Well, shit. But first, everybody, we got to talk about the people who allow us to be here. That's right, everybody. It's sponsor time. First up, the Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Conveniently located off the 210 freeway at the Day Creek exit in Rancho Cucamonga, California, the Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Has nightly food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, sports on sports screens, which are just regular TVs, but with sports on them.
Are you sure?
I think that's how sports works. Yes. Anyway, for more information, visit facebook.com/eRoadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Thought you were going to miss that one.
Yeah, nope. I'm ready.
I'm here. I'm just promoting the show, but I'm here. Uh-huh.
Also, check out The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. For more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Claremont, California location, use the promo code CRIME to get a $5 discount. Also, everybody, check out Four Color Fantasy's comic book store in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The Inland Empire, nay, California's premier comic book store.
What?
it's an awesome store, guys. It is, it's so hygienic and bright, well lit.
And it
it's not seedy at all.
No, it's actually not.
Hygienic is how you described the
store. It's actually very hygienic.
It smells good in that place. It feels clean.
It's one of the best selling points. You say comic book store and people automatically think
dungeon.
Yeah. Nerds. You know.
Nerds.
But it's not like that there.
It is a genuine consumer experience.
Yeah, it really is. So check that out. It's in Rancho Cucamonga, California. For more information, visit facebook.com/4CF Rancho. And that's with the number four, everybody. Oh, yeah. That's it. Sponsors are done. Now it's time to just relax to the rest of this song.
I mean, it's got, like, I put on the Ultimate Edition, which is like, it's like a 10-minute song.
So oh, sweet.
It's just going to loop.
All right, we'll just hang out. Hula dance a little bit? I don't know. Something. No. So, look, we gotta talk about some other, it's sort of sponsor-like, everybody. We got to talk about Patreon.
What?
I don't know. So, Patreon is a place where you can go and spend your hard-earned money to help us help you help us. You can become a patron of our show for as little as a dollar a month, all the way up to, let's say 500. I'm just throwing that number out there.
I mean, whatever you want.
Yeah, you know. And what that helps us do, obviously we have sponsors that allow us to be here on Chaotic, but the Patreon helps with our website costs and all the other little costs that pop up throughout the course of the year. And being a patron, we give you extra little perks.
Yeah.
Little things, doodads, whosits, and whatnots. What is happening right now?
Danny is actually trying to guilt people into being patrons.
But I have to change my rhetoric now to match.
For just a dollar a month.
Danny is beaten on a regular basis.
If you would like to stop the abuse of this undeserving human being.
Derek hasn't eaten in hours.
And minutes.
But for pennies a day. God. Anyway.
I'm just trying to have fun, man. No, just keep selling the Patreon.
It changes the whole face of what we're trying to do.
So one of the little perks that we give, you're supposed to get a shout out on the show, which we're actually pretty terrible at, but we're gonna do that today. So here, and this list is ever growing, guys. It's getting bigger every day, and we appreciate each and every one of you. So in no particular order, big thank you to Sean Hart, Jimmy Purcell, Aaron Esparza, Aaron, Jay Booth, The Nerd Out App, Jojo Murgich, Jackie Edis, and Christopher Brady, all y'all beautiful people.
We love all of you.
All of you so much.
All of you so hard.
Mucho corazón. That's French. And
also, at certain levels of patronage, you get additional perks, hand jobs and whatnot, which obviously we can't do on the air, but we can mention other things though. So the Nerd Out app, guys, check this app out if you haven't already. Go to the App Store right now, type in Nerd Out, and what this app does is it will find you nerdy stuff in your area that you can go check out, events and gatherings and whosits and whatnots. I don't know why I keep saying that.
And
I really
more.
Like it. Yes.
You want thingamabobs?
I got plenty.
They've got plenty. Yes.
Yeah.
So just a couple of these are a top. They have a top five section for some of the bigger cities, and they have one for the Inland Empire here. And a couple of events they got coming up in their top five: The Hunchback of Notre Dame, a new musical based on the Victor Hugo novel and songs from the Disney film. That's September 16th. Batman Day 2017, September 30th. Everybody.
Did you just hip hop DJ that shit?
Yes, I did.
I guess not to be outdone, Marvel Day is on September 2nd. So I don't know what it is about September. Everyone's just like, no, that's our fucking day. So I don't even know what that means. Marvel Day. What?
People just stand around and marvel at things.
I think what it is a consumer holiday, like Christmas, right? It's Marvel Day. Come down to the comic shop and Buy Marvel
or
stuff.
Or like Force Friday.
Get your picture taken with Budget Iron Man or whatever.
Budget Iron Man.
So, there's also Disney's Little Mermaid, October 20th to 22nd, and ReaderCon, Year 2, September 9th. So all these events are coming up in the Inland Empire area. They also have Los Angeles, New York, and their list of cities that they have events for is growing all the time. So definitely check the app out. You will not be disappointed.
Nope.
Also, our newest patron, JoJo from JoJo So Creative.
Hello, Clarice. No.
No.
No, that's not her name.
Are you gonna you're gonna have a weird relationship with my girlfriend to track down a serial killer and then...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Well, I mean, I guess it's okay.
Sorry, I didn't talk to you about it before I got here because, you know, I was in a rush, but, you know, I figured I'd just do it live on the air. Just let you know.
Dirt.
I can't be okay with this because in the end, then you fuck off somewhere and place an ambiguous phone call and be like, I'm having an old friend for dinner. And then you go, no, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why that doesn't, like, I'm never actually going to.
Because I need you here.
But I'm never going to touch a girl. Like, just let me fuck off to Italy for a while. I don't see what the issue is.
Because I need you on the air.
I can call in.
I mean, you know what? It's cool. I'll get Sam.
Ouch.
Budget.
Ouch. That hurt. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'm giving up my life of cannibalism to make sure that I'm here for the Jack of All Nerds.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All that to say, JoJo is a Patreon.
Yes.
Is that, that's
what, and she's so creative.
And JoJo's so creative.
She's so creative.
Is she makes things, guys. She makes all kinds of cool stuff. Superhero buttons. She has these hand sculpted floral antler headpieces that she makes, like masks, themed masks for superheroes and My Little Pony type stuff. If you're into that, she's very into that.
I'm sure.
But she is going to be at Long Beach Comic Con this weekend.
Are we not?
What?
Are we going?
No.
To that? Okay, we're not going.
We only do the big comp.
Oh, no.
unless anyone from Long Beach is listening. No, we will not be there.
Okay.
We got another con this month.
That's true, we do. You're right.
Yeah, we got to get ready for NerdBotCon.
That's right. That's right. We have an actual booth there this time.
Yeah.
So
that's what we're doing.
Yes.
This year. I make it sound like that's the only con we're attending, but it's not.
No.
So anyway, she's going to be in, I guess, they have this new thing at Long Beach called the Makers Market for people who make things.
And what's
I guess they're trying to split it up so it's not Artist Alley anymore, but some artists do make things with their arts.
I get it, I get where they're going.
So that's where she's going to be located this year at Space MM5, and she'd like you all to know that followers of JoJo So Creative on Instagram get discounts on all her stuff at the con. Yeah, that's pretty sexy.
She makes cool stuff, guys.
Yeah,
I can vouch for it. Like I literally just did a show called Cosplay Comedy where I had to dress up as a character and perform stand up as that character, and everything that I wore was created by her. Like, she made it all from scratch, and it was a huge hit. Everybody loved it. They loved the costume. So, I mean, even if you're just trying to get like little bits and pieces of stuff, like she's amazing. Like, she's fantastic.
Again, with the buttons that she makes, pretty much every major superhero that you could imagine, and not even just superhero stuff, but she has all the big superheroes, the Harry Potters, the Star Treks, the Ninja Turtles. She has all that kind of stuff. So you're going to want to go check that out. So she will be there at Long Beach Comic Con, everybody. Other cool Patreon news is, you know how we do the monthly movie commentaries as bonus stuff?
Yeah.
That is patron only. Well, now, new bonus material, everybody. Back in 2006, I wrote a little medieval fantasy novel called Fate of the Empires.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now turning that into an audiobook. And it's exclusive, patron only. Each chapter is getting posted on Patreon, one a month. And again, patrons only. So no one else is getting it until maybe after all of it's been released. And then I'll share it with the world. Heal the world.
Make it a better place.
I don't know what that has to do with my book, but hey, we got to start somewhere.
Because you'll read it and you'll want to heal the world.
You will, exactly. All right, guys. Well, that's that's old business is old business. It's on to new business.
And we only discussed new business.
I just watched it.
Did you really?
I saw it was on Netflix, and I was like, I literally like a half hour before I came here. Yeah. I watched the Addams Family.
God, dude, Raul Julia has fucking never been better.
I miss him.
Him as Gomez is just
that whole cast,
dude. It's unbelievable how good in that, just in that one, because like that
values. Family,
values I have some issues with. I still watch it and I still enjoy it, but I've got issues. Yeah. But like the Addams Family, that movie is just so good.
And we were so my girlfriend came in and she loves that movie too, like hardcore loves it. And she came in at the end and she was like with the when. Morticia holds up the baby clothing with the three legs, and she's like, but that baby didn't have three legs in the next movie. And it's like, yeah, it's because I don't think they intended to have a sequel.
Yeah,
this just like made way more money than the studio could ignore.
Yeah,
and then they're like, well, we're gonna make it. So they kind of painted themselves into a corner by the way that joke ending happened, and then they have to work it in. It's just like Back to the Future.
Yeah, no, like, for
it
sure.
It was a joke ending, and they're like, well, this made more money than God, so you have to make more. So, yeah, but good movie.
Yeah, no,
it was one of those where I was like, I really wish I had chosen this for my blast.
Yeah, it is.
Past,
I didn't. No, it's one of those old that for sure holds up. Like, if any of us does it for a blast from the past, like, it's a blast. We don't even really need to discuss it.
Yeah, I think we just
and if you speak, otherwise,
no, I love that.
You're wrong. That's.
But you know what? Let's. I mean, since we're in the neighborhood,
let's stop on by.
Shall we do some blasts from the past right now?
Should we?
Make it sound so scandalous or something.
Trying to keep the show hot,
like a Southern Belle. Oh my!
Oh my! Are we doing the blast from the past?
I do declare.
Oh, Mr. Beauregard.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't remember what everyone was reviewing.
Tombstone? I forgot too, but I'm good. I got it. I know what I'm doing.
Well, I don't know what you're doing, and I need to fill it up. Danny, you were doing the Tombstone, yeah?
Yep. I'm a Huckleberry.
What do you want on your Tombstone? Pepperoni and cheese. You remember those commercials?
Oh, the Tombstone pizzas.
Tombstone pizzas.
And then DiGiorno came around and put them out of business. Fucking DiGiorno. I hate DiGiorno.
So mine is 1996, so I don't know where that puts me in the,
It puts you first, motherfucker.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, cool.
Surprise, motherfucker!
One of the greatest memes on the internet, hands down.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise, motherfucker! So I decided to do Kingpin, the old classic, pre-crazy Randy Quaid, and Woody Harrelson, Woody Harrelson.
Let's be honest
mashup.
With ourselves. Was there actually ever a pre-crazy?
There was a point where you're like, yeah, you don't have to ever come back to this country. Like there was a point where you were like, it's cool if you just keep being a cool part of Independence Day. We're gonna let all your weird shit slide. But now it's just like, no, please. Please don't ever make Kingpin 2. I don't want to see you in films ever again. So this story, it stars Woody Harrelson and Randy Quaid. Randy Quaid plays an Amish gentleman who happens to be an amazing bowler. Woody Harrelson plays a washed-up bowler who got in deep with the mob and lost his hand, so he can't be as good as he wants to. So through twist of fate, he ends up meeting this guy, and he wants to train him, and they want to go to this...
is this the plot from Happy Gilmore?
It's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, it's literally the same thing. So he wants to go to this competition where the payout is like $1 million. He can pay off all his debts. He can, Woody Harrelson's character can, like, redeem his name, and hilarity ensues. It's just a typical 90s, like... almost buddy cop, even though they're not cops, but like that's essentially what it is. And this movie is like, there are gags in this film where I don't remember being able to get away with in the 90s. Like, there's a whole thing where like Woody Harrelson has sex with his landlord to like pay off a month's rent, and like it's like really gross. He like they cut to it and he's like throwing up and she's just, it's disgusting. It's a disgusting scene. But then it's just a weird movie. It's a weird movie because it's clearly a parody of something, mm-hmm. but then it also tries to like have this heart. And I think it was placed in a time where I don't know that everybody really knew what to do with it. I don't think...
I'm not going to lie. I thought it looked weird from the trailer.
Yeah.
And so I never saw it.
No, it's a weird fucking movie. I'm not even going to try to pretend like it's not. But if you can sit through the weirdness of the film, it's actually super funny. And Randy Quaid is so enjoyable to the point where, like, you're sad that he's batshit crazy now. Like, you watch this movie and you're just like, oh, man, but, like... you're an awful person and we don't want you back. Like it's heartbreaking because it's like, oh, you can actually like make a good movie. And then paired with somebody like Woody Harrelson, who just, it doesn't matter what he's doing. He does it 100%. Yeah. And then you get this great cameo, by Bill Murray, who plays like, Woody Harrelson's bowling rival. And it's a small cameo, but it's, honestly, it's Bill Murray at his best. Like, he is so despicable and so awful and so goddamn funny. So yeah, if you can deal with the absurdity of this film, because it is so absurd. Like, nothing should work in this movie. But once you're done, it strangely all kind of comes together. So I am actually going to give it a blast. I remember watching it in the 90s and feeling very weird about it. And then, coming back to it, I kind of see it with a different perspective, and I think it's worth a watch. So I caught it on one of the movie channels I have on. I don't know that it's on Netflix. I'm not sure. But, you know, you can try to find it. It might be on, like, Amazon or Hulu or something like that. So, yeah, okay, definitely try to hunt it down.
All right, then. Moving on back to 93. Danny?
Yeah, I did Tombstone. It's the great classic story of the Earps and Doc Holliday and their rivalry with the Clantons and McLowries. There's not a whole lot I can say about this movie because it's literally... Oh, there's, sorry, let me rephrase that. There's a lot I can say about this movie because it's so friggin' awesome.
It's like, I would say it's like the most quotable Western of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for like, sure.
No!
I'm not even a Western fan and I can quote the fuck out of Tombstone.
Yeah. Honestly, and they're all Val Kilmer lines.
I don't think so.
No, really?
Nope.
And because you guys weren't here last week, but we did best quotes and worst quotes from heroes and villains. And somebody had a Tombstone line, and then I was talking about one of my favorite lines is Wyatt Earp's, and that's, are you going to do something or just stand there and bleed?
Talking
about Billy Bob?
Dude. Goddamn. One of the most famous lines. Like, yeah. Yeah. I know the I'm your Huckleberry mm-hmm. is like...
Well, that line gets said a lot. Like, you say Tombstone to somebody, and they immediately respond with, yeah, I'm the Huckleberry.
But the, are you gonna do something, or are you just gonna stand there and bleed, is, like, right up there. Mm. And I think it's one of those lines where, like, people quote, and they don't even remember that it's from Tombstone. Yeah. Like, that's how quotable that line is.
And actually, some of my favorite lines from that movie aren't even the famous ones.
Oh, like, the Billy Bob line, Christ, it's like I'm playing cards with my sister's kids or something. You nerve-wracking sons of bitches.
And even when Doc Clicker later is, well, I forgot you were there. You may go.
Thank you. Yeah, so the one thing I will say about this movie is that Kilmer, like, everybody shines this movie, from Kurt Russell, Sam Elliott, Michael Biehn, Powers Booth. Everybody shines in this movie, but Kilmer, man, he sets the bar high in this movie. Like, I know he got snubbed for a best supporting actor in this movie, mm-hmm. And that sucks, but honestly, he could have gotten a, like, best lead in anything for this movie, because it's pretty much, like, half and half his movie and Kurt Russell's movie.
Which is crazy, because this movie, it's 2 hours and 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and it feels like they cover so much ground.
They do, right? Like, yeah. They cover, like, 2 years worth of history.
And then the following year... Wyatt Earp came out.
Yeah, and that
which
movie
is 3 hours and 11 minutes long, and it's like,
leave it to Kevin Costner.
Yeah, and probably, and I've never seen it. I've seen bits of it.
Yeah,
and what I've seen is just inferior. And I was like, I love Dennis Quaid, but you can't compete with Val's Doc, man.
And his Doc is really good, but it's not Val Kilmer's Doc Holliday.
But it's one of those things where, like, Val Kilmer turns in a performance that is the bar.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's there's no comparison. It's, are you Val Kilmer or not? Yeah. Like, that's but, the bar that he sets in this movie.
But also, what Wyatt Earp tried to do, it's the Gotham thing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you like Wyatt Earp? How'd you like to see him before he was famous?
Yeah,
The only thing I care about is the OK Corral, and that's about it.
No, I don't care.
They're like, well, we'll include that, but we're going to give you at least an hour of him and his first wife and her dying and all that stuff.
Nope.
Great.
Spiraling out of control and landing a job as a sheriff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No, no not no, down. No, thank you. No, I like it way better when Bill Paxton dies and then he's like, hell's coming with me. That's like way better of a story.
Run, you cur. And a great cameo from Charlton Heston.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, blast.
Oh, absolutely.
I have two guns, and they each give a blast.
One for each of you.
One for each of you. I also, like, who doesn't want to be Doc Holliday? Just fucking blitz out of your mind 24/7.
Drinking and whoring your way through life.
Just knowing you're going to die, but not giving a fuck. Like,
well, maybe poker's not your game. I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
I will not be part of that. Thank you very much.
Why? Whatever do you mean?
All right, change the topic, guys. Right. We're just going to talk Tombstone all night.
I could. I don't know why we won't do an entire... We should just do an entire episode on that movie.
We
should all watch it, and then that's a topic of discussion.
We should do... Well, yeah, we will. When we decide to stop doing bad movies, we'll do Tombstone.
I like this. Let's see that.
Like, I feel like Wyatt Earp would be the more appropriate one for what we've been doing.
there
ain't no fucking way we're doing a 3-hour and 11-minute commentary. Get the fuck out of here.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's like, a bad movie is a bad movie, but we got to think about the time that someone's willing to sit and listen to us talk at a TV screen. And 3 hours is too much. Sorry.
2 hours and 10 minutes might be pushing it, too.
Yeah, well, we've done a couple of long ones, I feel.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's quite spendy. I mean, this show is 2 hours, but after you remove commercials, about 1 hour and 45, which I think is... That's okay to ask someone to sit and listen through, but fuck, dude, 3 hours and 10 minutes, no way.
Yeah, that's...
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't ask someone to subject themselves to that kind of torture. All right, so Tombstone, obviously, blast. All right, guys, well, let's go back a couple of years to 1991 and talk a little King Ralph, baby. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
John Goodman.
John Goodman, Peter O'Toole, John Hurt playing... evil John Hurt.
Just playing John Hurt.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes he's good. Sometimes he's crazy. Sometimes he's just getting ripped open by an alien. You know, the guy's got range. He's got range. So this movie is basically the plot of it is that the entire royal family is wiped out in one fell swoop from a picture-taking incident after a rainstorm, and they're all sitting in these bleachers, which as I've been watching it now, I'm like, there's no fucking way this would ever be a thing. Like, they wouldn't be sitting on these rinky-dink bleachers.
I don't know, man. Have you seen some of these soccer stadiums?
Yeah, but you're talking... They're at Buckingham Palace, bro. There's not... Right. That's not how that's going down. And so the ground's all wet, and there's all these cables that are run, and when the guy takes the picture, it electrocutes the entire royal family and kills them in a hilarious way where they're all, like, wide-eyed and hair standing on end, you know, typical farcical stuff. But, like, watching it now, I'm thinking, that's some dark shit. Like, all these people are dead, but it's done in this, like, silly way. So you're like, okay, comedy. But so they're searching for an heir, and it turns out they find one... living heir to the throne, but he's an American. And it's, you know, like the Brits do, somebody had a dalliance with somebody they shouldn't have, and an illegitimate child was born, and blah, 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 blah.
Jon Snow.
So, yeah. Yes. In fact, that's it. John Goodman is the Jon Snow of this story. He knows,
that makes sense.
He knows nothing.
That makes total sense. He knows nothing.
So, John Goodman is a lounge singer in Las Vegas, and he's pretty terrible at it. They go and they give him the news, and at first he doesn't believe him, and then they take him over there, and he agrees because he's got nothing else going for him. But he quickly learns how restricted life is as the King of England, and so there's not a lot of stuff he can do. He kind of hates it. He has to learn how to be diplomatic. There's also this huge... hugely racist segment where his first diplomatic meeting is with the king from some African country, and he's been given this whole, like, what to say. And as soon as the dude walks up to him and he sees that he's black, he's like, "Hey, Holmes, what's happening?" And like throws his hand up for a high five, and the guy's just standing there staring at him blankly.
When was this made?
91.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And I was makes total sense.
As I was watching, I was like, oh, my God, that's so racist. You just assume this dude's going to be like, sup?
It's the 90s did not give a fuck.
It was urbanomics, man.
Yeah. And then he actually meets, there's one point where he sneaks out of the castle to go to a strip club. And,
like you do.
And he meets this bashful stripper who ends up not stripping. And, played by, her name is Camille, Kodori. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But anyone who has watched modern Doctor Who, mm-hmm. she is the mother, like Rose.
Rose Tyler's Rose's mom.
Yeah, Rose's mom. Who still, I think she's held
still
up
a looker.
Well. Yeah. And he meets her, and, you know, he is kind of instantly infatuated with her, tries to convince her he's the king. She thinks he's just a creeper. later on, she finds out that he's the king. And John Hurt's character, he's part of Parliament. He wants to be king, and he wants his lineage to be put back in line. So he creates this scam where he wants the stripper to go hang out with him so he can take pictures of it and make this big old scandal and have him kicked out. At first, she goes along with it. You can tell she doesn't really want to, but she needs the money. So she does, and then they kind of fall in love, and then she decides not to, but the damage has already been done. And in the end, we find out that Peter O'Toole, who is, like, Ralph's advisor? Like, I don't know his actual position, but he's the guy that kind of trains him to be king and all this. Turns out he's an actual descendant as well. Like, he is an heir to the fucking throne, but he didn't want the responsibility of the throne, and he ends up taking over the throne in the end when Ralph steps down. But they prove to all of Parliament that John Hurt is a dick, and so he gets arrested or something for, you know, scandalous.
They just take
shit.
Off his wig, and he becomes ashamed.
No, they arrest him in the wig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he wears the wig on the way out, being very British the whole entire way.
Sipping tea, that kind of shit.
It's honestly, guys, it's a funny movie. It's one of those where on a rewatch there were a lot of things I was just like, wow. I don't think that a British person was involved in making this, but
there are a couple in it.
Yeah, I mean, the cast, but I mean, whoever wrote the movie, I'm not really sure how much, English culture they actually, you know, got involved with. It feels very American is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But still, very funny. It is not available on Netflix. However, I did just rent it on Vudu, which means Netflix is probably going to throw it up next month just to throw it in my face. but you can find it that way. I'm giving it a blast.
Nice.
So... And I think it's time for our first commercial break, everybody.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It is. You got a problem with that, punk?
It's wrong.
We're just doing Westerns all the time.
Well, that's actually Dirty Harry, but...
Yeah, it is.
That's still Western.
Well, I mean...
Dirty Harry?
Clint Eastwood is innately... He's a cowboy in anything he does.
Yeah, it
right?
doesn't matter what it is. He's still Western. Yeah.
Even when he's talking to an empty chair.
Even if he's in Gran Torino, it doesn't matter. He is a Western. Like, he's a walking Western.
Yes.
You're shit out of luck.
All right, guys. When we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to do some video game news, break down some of the Overwatch stuff that's coming out. If you wish to join the conversation, give us a call, 909-360-8330, or messages on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back. A broomstick you can crawl on, we're gonna pay a call on the
Addams Family. Chaotic Radio, because the rest is just a waste of time.
Hey, bub. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Don't go anywhere, or else.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Tonight, guys, coming up, we're going to talk some Defenders, but right now, it's Overwatch time, everybody. Two shows ago, we chatted a little Overwatch, but we didn't get to actually talk about any of the news. And there is a fuck ton of changes coming to this game. regardless of what platform you play it on. So one of the things that is coming up that we didn't even get to mention was Deathmatch is a thing that's happening, and it's something that originally the creators of the game were like, we're not going to do that, and then now they're doing that. So
give the people what they want.
Which, honestly, is fine, because I know you guys have played this game, and one of the most frustrating things is when you're on an objective map, and nobody wants to do the fucking objective.
Yeah.
They just want to go kill each other.
That's like any game where there's like an objective-based game.
No, but it's one of the most annoying things, especially in a game like Overwatch, that is designed to be about team play. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do? Why are you here? Why are you here? Like, your kills don't matter if nobody wins the objective. Like,
yeah,
they don't at all. Because honestly, like, the way the play of the games work is it's not based off of how many people you kill. It is based strategically off of how well you do in the game based on the objective. So that's great. You got 40 kills in the game. But like, if none of them were objective kills and some Mercy fucking healed everybody in the objective, she'll get the play of the game. So why are you going out of your way to fuck your team?
Trying to get that KD spread, right?
I gave up on that a long time ago.
In a game that doesn't really matter at all.
Yeah. We only care about it because we're used to every other game caring about it.
Yeah. But now deathmatch is going to be a thing. They're going to have a team deathmatch where it's like first to so many kills, and then they're going to have a solo deathmatch, which is just free-for-all, everybody for themselves, and it's like first to 20 or something like that. That's going to be fucking nuts. and they have a new map that is built. So what they've done is they've tweaked some of the other arcade maps. This will be an arcade game mode. They've tweaked some of the other maps to work for deathmatch, and then they actually created a new map, and it's the home of Widowmaker. It's like her chateau in France. Then that map is built exactly for deathmatch.
Okay.
And it has like jump pads and all kinds of wacky stuff, but the gameplay footage I've seen looks intense, and it's going to be especially the solo deathmatch. That you're going to find out how good you are, I guess.
That's going to be nice watching all these Hanzo and Kenshi mains just.
Yeah, that's it. It's just those two.
And then watch them all just like, oh, I really suck with this character.
Yeah.
Some characters are going to fare better than others.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people have been bitching about Roadhog in his weakened state. He's still pretty fucking lethal. You need to calm the fuck down. But with his changes coming up, forget about it.
What are the changes for him?
He when he uses his health pack, he will be able to move while he's doing it, and while he's doing it, he takes 50% less damage.
Shut the fuck up.
It has been tested. He can take a direct hit from D.Va's ultimate if he's doing it right while it explodes. He can take it. And most ultimates he can take while he's doing that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Nope.
He is already hard enough to kill.
And he can move while he's doing it.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He's gonna be, and so in a solo match like that,
I'm so mad at the internet for trying to act like he's not viable in his current state.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about that is like there's only one character for each match, so I don't know how they're gonna do that because like everybody's gonna want their mains, but
yeah, in a solo thing like that, I don't know how that's gonna work. unless they just open it to where anybody can be anybody, but then I feel like everybody would just be playing the same characters.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. So that's some of the changes coming for him. Junkrat's getting some changes where he's getting an extra concussion mine, so he'll be able to do a triple jump with it. So what you can do is you can plant one on the ground and then wait for the second one to respawn, and then you can jump, blast yourself into the air, throw it out, blast yourself further, throw the second one out, and blast yourself even further.
That sounds like a lot of work to get to whatever position it is you're trying to get to.
Yeah, but imagine him in a place that nobody can fucking even see him.
Yeah,
he's just lobbing grenades down.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty bad.
I had that experience the other day where he was just off map, just launching grenades as far as he possibly could, and took me out.
And he's one, it's one of those characters where he doesn't need to see what he's aiming at. Like,
yeah, no, it's true.
He can just like arc it down a corridor, and if you just happen to be turning that corner and take a face full of grenade, and you're like, motherfucker.
Yep. You don't need to know where he is.
Yeah.
He can find you.
Fucking Jai Courtney.
Is he the Jai Courtney of Overwatch?
Yeah. No, yeah, he is. He definitely is.
And then there's a new payload map that is Junkertown. So it's in Australia. It kind of gives us a little backstory on Junkrat and Roadhog. And so we have that to look forward to. Some changes for your girl coming.
Yeah, my boo.
Yep. So D.Va will, her defense matrix, they're going to half the time that you have to use it. And then they've made it to where she can actually fire while she's rocket boosting. And then she's got these cluster rockets that she has. And I think she can fire those while firing and while rocket boosting. So they're definitely trying to make her more of like an in-your-face type of a character.
Which is good, because I think most people play her that way. Like, I've played her both ways, where I've played her as a...
So you've gone both ways?
I have gone both ways. So I've played her as a very offensive character, very aggressive, kind of like the sacrificial lamb, like the person that'll go into the point just to disrupt whatever it is they're doing, knowing that I'm going to die, but really trying to take out as many people as I possibly can to make it better for my other team. Yeah. But I've also played it on the opposite end, where I kind of stay on the outskirts, throw the defense matrix, and just tag everybody. And just constantly tag people from behind, so that my more offensive characters, like your Soldier and your Hanzo and all these people that do massive damage, can take them out easier. So, personally, I like the more aggressive playstyle. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is just a better character for her. If you can get out of your headspace of caring about the KD spread, D.Va is the best character to just suicide squad that shit.
Well, and her defense matrix is one of the most powerful shields in the game.
It takes out everything.
Because it's not like she can move while she... Well, she moves slower when she does it, but it creates a zone.
Yeah.
And it's just nothing can damage in that zone.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else's shield defenses, they take damage and eventually they fall.
Right.
And, you know, so the fact that she is one of the most obnoxious characters, especially if you have an ultimate to use, it's one of those, you like, better take that bitch out of her mech before you launch your shit. Because nothing sucks more than doing a Death Blossom and then she's just like, around you, and you do nothing. So.
Yeah. Look, a good D.Va player is one of the most annoying characters in the game. And that's speaking as somebody who uses her as a main. Like, when I come across a D.Va player who's better than me, I fucking want to quit. Because she is so irritating when there's somebody that knows how to use her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mercy is getting a huge change.
Mm.
And it's ridiculous. So, you know that Mercy's ultimate rezzes everyone in a certain radius.
Right.
Right? So now, she can res a single player every 30 seconds.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's no longer an ultimate. It's just her ability, right?
No.
So, her ultimate is called Valkyrie, and when she's in her ultimate mode, it instantly resets the cooldown on the res, and then she can res while in Valkyrie mode every 10 seconds instead of every 30. And then, while she's in this mode too, she can fly, not just leap towards somebody like she does. She can just fucking fly wherever she wants. And her damage on her gun is like, it's unlimited. Her health regen can no longer be interrupted, so she's just constantly regenning health. And the damage on her pistol is stronger than ever before. So they've already released this on the PTR, and they've already nerfed, or they have a nerf coming for her pistol damage, because the character is just so fucking overpowered.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's pretty awesome. That
For sure.
Just like, to be able to fucking...
And even now in her current state, like, if you get a good Mercy, like... She's the Night King of the Game of Thrones. Like, your whole fucking team has to just spend all of their time making sure Mercy dies. Because if you don't, No one else will. Like, literally no one else on the squad will die unless you take that fucking mercy out. There is nothing... oh, my God. I can't even tell you how disheartening it is when you launch the perfect ultimate. I don't care what character you are.
Get everyone except
you
her.
You launch the perfect ultimate, and you have a quadruple kill. And the whole team is like, oh, my God, we don't know what to do. And here comes Mercy to Valhalla, and fucking everybody rezzes, and it nullifies everything you just did. Yeah. It is crushing. It's a crushing blow.
Yep. I've had that where I've like, I specifically trying to get her, and somehow she just fucking danced her way out of the zone, and then you killed everyone else, and then she just raises everyone back, and you're like, God damn it. But it's also equally annoying is if you have a bad Mercy who... rezzes everyone at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
Right as a death blossom is going on.
And so you just, you're like, I'm alive! And then you die immediately. And you're like, fuck! Because that counts as two deaths.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does.
So, yeah. But that ability is, we'll see how that's going to work. But it sounds like these are huge changes.
Yeah.
Like fundamental character changes, power changes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doomfist is getting another nerf.
So stupid.
And it's a minor one, but I guess when you if you jump and do his rocket fist, it doesn't go as far as if you were on the ground and do the rocket fist. I don't know why that's coming. And then they also they nerfed the hitbox on his rocket punch. So you have to be even more surgically precise.
It's so dumb.
Get that hit. And it is super dumb.
It's super dumb.
Because like, yes, he can get an insta kill, but he needs a wall.
Yeah.
And he needs to hit the target. Yeah. And now they're making it even harder for you to hit the target.
And he is not an OP character. Like, he is a character that, like, it takes a lot of practice. Like, I have not had to go into the tutorial or, like, go into, like, the practice range for a character since I started playing Overwatch. And he was the first character since that, like, since for a year, he was the first character was like, okay, I have to actually learn how to play this dude because so much of what he does is based on timing and position. Yeah. It has nothing to do with how powerful he is. Like, if you miss that punch, you're dead. Like, it's not even a question as to whether or not you're going to make it out alive. If you do not punch Tracer into a wall and insta kill her and you miss that punch, she will absolutely kill you.
And actually, there's been times where I've hit characters into walls and they haven't died. Like, even weaker characters, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
The fuck, just whatever.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, if you don't one hit kill someone, you have nothing.
No. And actually, I've been in the position where I came up to two characters and I did rocket punch one of them into the wall and kill them, but then I had nothing for the other guy. And,
yeah.
And he just, you know, and I turn around and shoot off my four shots. Ha ha! And then can't fucking reload. So I'm standing there like an asshole waiting for my gun to auto reload as it does. And then he just kills me.
Yeah.
And sure, you've got his uppercut and his other attack, but those don't do a lot of damage. And there's been plenty of times where I've tried to use the uppercut to get away from somebody. Like me, like Doomfist and Roadhog.
Yeah.
Roadhog is fucking hard as shit to kill with Doomfist because he has so many hit points that even if you successfully land a rocket punch into a wall, it's not going to be enough to kill him.
Yeah.
And if you uppercut, for whatever reason, Roadhog doesn't have the same lift as everyone else in the game. And I don't know if that's fat shaming or what, but every time I've tried to uppercut him, like, he just takes it. Like, I go launching into the air and he's just standing there like, whatever, bro, die. And then he shoots me while I'm in the fucking air.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff is like, why do you think that character deserves a nerf? Yeah. Like, he's useless if you miss.
Yeah.
And if you miss, and is useless.
I've had plenty of times where I thought I had the rocket punch lined up perfectly.
Yeah.
And then somehow, like, it feels like I teleported through them. And I'm like, wait, what happened? How did I miss that? And now it's going to be even harder.
Yeah, so. For sure. And also, look, I'm just going to say it. He has the dumbest ultimate in the entire game. Like, it is the only ultimate when it charges, I don't care. Because it's so fucking... I don't think I've ever killed anyone with that ultimate.
I think the most I've gotten is like two kills out of it. And then I was able to, because I've had a couple plays of the game with it where it was in a tight space. It was usually a payload map.
Okay.
Because then everyone had to be on the payload, and it's one of those where like they don't want, like they know,
don't
they know it's coming, but they don't want to leave because they need to be on the payload.
Yeah.
And it's like in overtime or some shit like that. And so I've had a couple of good situations like that, but then I've also had some where it's just the dumbest shit happens. I've gotten where I was right over two guys, and my guy got caught on a lip that was overhanging a doorway. And so he hit the lip and not the guys. So he crash lands above them.
Yeah.
And I was like, get the fuck out of here. He just, that stopped him.
Yeah.
And it is what, like, it's where, like, everyone knows it's coming because you shout it to the world.
Yep.
And then even when you activate it, then the ground lights up to where everyone knows exactly where you're going to hit.
Where it's going
to
land. Yeah, right.
And you actually come down rather slowly. So it is hard. You have to kind of anticipate where someone's going to run and try to get to there and then activate so that as you're coming down, they're running into that zone. It's super fucking hard.
Yeah, and that to me is just like, I don't understand how you can look at those mechanics and be like, that guy needs a nerf.
Yeah.
Like, that just, why would you do that? Because even D.Va, like, D.Va's ultimate is actually really hard to get off because she does. She announces it to the world. It's a really slow get off. Mm-hmm. And most people scatter before it ever explodes. So the compensation for that is that you use that ultimate like a grenade, because even though you announce it, if you launch it up and over something, people can't see where it's going to land until it actually lands. But that's a way to overcompensate for how much you announce that ultimate.
But also, her damage output on that, if you're anywhere near that fucking blast radius,
oh yeah, for sure,
you're dead.
Yeah, no, that's it.
His, if you're not directly under, where, because like the radius looks really big,
but it's not.
But the damage is,
it's a bullseye.
Yeah,
it's a fucking bullseye. If you don't come down on someone directly, you're not killing anyone.
Yeah,
that's it. It's end of story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got the stupidest ultimate in the entire game, and I've played almost every character at least once, and I can't think of any ultimate that's more useless than that one.
Look, High Noon or whatever the fuck it's called.
I can't even be mad at High Noon because I can't kill everybody with it. Like, I've seen people team wipe with that ultimate. No.
And that is, it's one of those trying to get into a good position to use it, but I have been playing a lot of Doomfist and McCree lately. And I've failed on that so many times, even where I'm like, I think I've got it. I'm in a good position. And then I'll activate it, and it takes forever for the skulls to appear over their head. And by the time it does, either somebody moves out of the way or I've been killed, and I'm just terrible at using it. I'm actually not that bad with McCree as an overall thing. Same with Doomfist. I'm actually pretty good with him. But for whatever reason, both of their ultimates, I'm just like, eh. Like, Doomfist, I'll at least use his ultimate to get the fuck out of Dodge. That's one good thing about it, because you just leap into space. And so
disappear.
Someone will be shooting me, and I'll be like, oh, shit!
You just launch your ultimate somewhere outside of it. Yeah,
I'll just launch into it, and then, like, run back to the allies, and then crash down there. But, McCree, that I can't use it for that. So it's just one of those where oftentimes I just hang on to it. And I'm like, if I use this, I'm going to die, so I'll just wait.
Fair enough.
If an opportune moment pops up, I'll use
it to kill one person. It is a very like position and map specific thing. Because I've killed numerous McCrees in terrible positions where they're like in the fray and they try to activate the high.
That's like the dumbest thing you can do.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. My D.Va's got this. Like, calm down. I got you. But then you get people that are, they find a great position, they're hiding, and shit's going down, and you're so confused. Yeah, you have the high ground, you're so confused with the rest of the team, and then you hear it's High Noon, but you don't know where he's at, so you can't even get out of the way, and before you know it, your whole team's dead.
Yeah, no, I've had those where it happens, and I think, like, I don't see him, and so I'm just moving, so then I'm like, and then I see the kill cam, and it's like, I was actually backing up towards him, you know?
Those are the best McCree ultimates. Those are the ones that count.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had many a times where I'm like, I'm getting out of the way, and really I'm just launching towards him.
Yeah. So a lot of big changes coming. I'm actually very excited. More maps, more game modes, and there's a bunch of stuff that they're actually like currently working on for the future. So this game, it continues to change, and we don't have to fucking pay for any of these changes.
It's, honestly, nice. it's one of the best parts about this game is, look, for all the things that you might want to complain about, and I'm the first one to tell you all the complaints that I have about the game, but I can't actually hate this game because I haven't had to pay for any of the changes. They are constantly trying to adjust things to make the team play better, to fix characters, and whether you like them or not, they are actively working to keep the game fresh, to change things up. When you discover a meta, they fucking ruin it because they change it. And that to me is like, that's amazing. I think that's the best way to operate a game because there's nothing worse than finding a game where you have to pay DLCs for everything that happens, but the DLC characters are the meta and there's nothing to change it. There's no nerfs. There's no. So now, unless you are going to pay an extra $100 to be a part of the meta team, that game is useless to you. Why would you want to play that when you can't afford the character that is the only reason to play this game? Whereas Overwatch is like, yeah, you don't have to play it. We're just going to fuck with things until it works. As much as that sounds like they're just winging it, that's the best type of game development like I could ever want. I love it.
And it is, one of those, it can be frustrating because if they take a character that you know and play really well in one way and then they change that character to do something different and then you're like, well, fuck. But if you really love that character, just adapt. Learn
it
differently.
Just learn it.
You know?
Yeah. And the meta shifts so much in this game.
And honestly,
fantastic. I love it.
We played it so much when it first came out that I was starting to be like, all right, well, it's just kind of the same thing. And then fucking Doomfist came out. And even though he can be very frustrating, he's such a different character to play that I'm having a fuck ton of fun just trying him out.
Yeah.
And,
for
sure. And look, and as much as you will miss a target and get shot in the back.
Yeah.
Every single time you rocket punch someone through a wall,
God,
and kill them.
Damn it! It's so satisfying.
It feels so good.
Oh, it feels so good.
If you haven't done it yet,
Danny,
do it.
Look, you've just got to fist someone to really feel alive. That's
through a wall.
Yeah. Basically.
Oh yeah. No, you have to fist someone into a wall. Sorry, I didn't say that properly. You have to fist someone into a wall to feel satisfied.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
It's not the size of your fist that counts. It's how deep you go.
Just get in there.
With it,
Just get nice and deep in there.
Yeah.
Just elbow deep.
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right.
Oh, shit.
I actually wanted to bring something up since we're on video games. Did you guys talk about the new DLC for Injustice 2, the reveal?
I saw it. I haven't gotten on board yet because I haven't opened up that game in a very long time.
Didn't you mention it real briefly?
I mentioned... Pack 1.
And also, it also might be that I'm on, I do another show that's strictly video games.
Okay.
And maybe I got talked about there.
It's
so that's
there.
What I'm thinking about. So go ahead, bring it up.
The new Fighter Pack 2 was announced, and the obvious ones were Raiden and Black Manta. And then a huge fucking curveball was Hellboy was introduced.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I just wanted to bring it up if you hadn't talked about it. And
nope, hadn't brought it up.
Yeah. I just thought
Hellboy.
It was awesome that Hellboy's
the Lobo of Injustice 2.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what he is.
Yep.
I'm down. Like, look, I already bought all the DLCs because I bought the Ultimate Edition, Sam. it's one of those things where, like, fighting games tend to lose their allure after you kind of master, even if you just master one character, trying to master everybody, it gets exhausting because it's a lot of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is great that I know that I'm going to be able to use those characters. You know, I fucked around with Sub-Zero when he first came out. So knowing that there's three new characters that I get to play with that are pretty awesome. Like, I'm excited to play with Raiden and Mantis and fucking Hellboy. Like, that's dope. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, cool. I'm going to play him for one world and then that's it. Like, I'll play them for one multiverse planet.
Just do their multiverse, get their epic gear.
Get like a couple of epic gear pieces at like gear 4 and then just call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, look, I haven't played Injustice in quite a while. Yeah. In fact, since the tournament at Roadhouse.
Yeah, I haven't either. I yeah, this is the last time we played.
Yeah, it showed.
Damn, fucking heartless, bro. Sorry we didn't all bring our own fucking joystick to the tournament.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Also, didn't I go further than anyone else?
Yeah, yeah, no, you did.
I mean, I still lost.
And then it was me, and then it was Danny, so I don't know why he's talking shit.
Because you didn't win. I wanted to win.
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy, sir.
Sweep the leg.
But like the last, because I didn't buy the season pass. So because I don't really care about every new character that comes out. I try to pick and choose, and I did buy Red Hood when he came out and hated him.
Yeah.
I played him for a day and then have not touched him since.
Yeah.
But I do get why they do what they do because of that exact reason. Like, you can only play a fighting game so long.
Yeah.
So by stretching out these character releases to where you might be interested again, and then, but like you say,
it's the best correction, I think, for any fighting game if you want to continue that longevity. And yes, this is going to be costly, and it's going to be an expensive endeavor for the studio, but the best thing you can do is create other storylines when you release these DLC characters. So if you release Raiden, give us a story that we can play through as to why Raiden is in this fighting game. Because that, to me, one, it helps me learn Raiden in Injustice, but then it gives me something to fight for. Like, what sells Injustice and what sold Injustice and Injustice 2 is the story. Mm-hmm. That story is captivating. It's a fascinating story. So when you play the story, you love the game. It's the best part about the game. So when you introduce a new character, just give us a new story with that. I get it that that's like, you got to redesign all that shit, but like, I would play Injustice way more if every new DLC character that I either had to buy or came with the Ultimate Edition had a story that I could fight with.
Every character does have their own little story in it. I don't know exactly where to go. I think it's like
No, you have to play the same tower
over and over again.
You're just talking about the ending that you get from playing.
That's not what I'm talking about.
He's talking about story mode.
Put them in the story mode.
I'm talking about actually insert them into a story mode. So if you get that new character, it is basically play Raiden's story, and you play Raiden's story mode.
But Derek, that's like so much time and effort.
I know, and they'll never do it. They'll never fucking do it.
It's not shitty art at the end of a tournament with voiceover.
That you've already played with the 20 other characters that you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those endings could be better.
Yeah. I agree.
They're all really shittily narrated.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just all, like, not the art's kind of like blah. Like, it's a comic book game. Give me some fucking comic book art, god damn it.
Yeah, but it's, again, like, if you think about if you think about games that have had massive longevity, I get it, they're not fighting games, but if you take something like The Witcher 3, where not only are all of your decisions that you make in that game determine a different ending, but every single DLC is a completely different story that has different missions.
But,
and like,
I mean, comparing an RPG to a fighting game.
I know, and it's not fair, but I think if you want to continue the longevity of a fighting game beyond beating the story and then trying to get stats, you need to make an RPG. That's what I'm saying. RPGs are better. That's the point of this entire podcast.
I'll agree with you. If you had an RPG, but all the battles were fighting game style battles.
Oh, that'd be dope as hell.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
You know, but that's...
What was that game? Jade Empire? It was kind of like that, but it was still turn-based.
Jade Empire was fucking fun as shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're out of time here. We gotta take a commercial break. But real quickly, did either of you guys play as Starfire when she was released?
Yes, I played her multiverse.
How was she?
She was actually really good. Like, I know, like, when they release a new character, they kind of OP him for a while.
Yeah.
But her combos are great. Her super is just that. It's pretty super. it's very fluid, and her voice acting is on par, and it's okay. Yeah, it's really good.
Maybe I'll have to check that one out. I didn't do Sub-Zero because everybody
and their mom did Sub-Zero.
How fucking overpowered he is.
Yeah, it's not even fair.
And again, he's a Mortal Kombat character.
He's still fun to play.
He's fun as fuck to play, but he's...
It's just like Raiden.
Play him when you're like, I don't want to lose.
Get Black Manta, get Hellboy just for the spectacle of having Hellboy.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Those I probably will, but Raiden, like, if I want, I have Mortal Kombat. I can play.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude,
Hellboy is cool. I'm excited for Hellboy.
Raiden's...
I think that'll be fun.
Raiden's default costume looks dorky as hell. Because they gave him, like, a superhero kind of mask, and he looks like he's wearing, like, thick-rimmed glasses. It looks terrible.
It's great.
Nerd! All right, guys, we're going to take our commercial break right now. And when we come back, we are talking all Defenders. Spoiler alert. There will be spoilers. Spoilers aplenty. We're going to talk in depth about this show. What worked? What didn't work? Our favorite moments, our least favorite moments. Let's be honest. We're going to focus probably a lot on those. So
I am the immortal Iron Fist. And I'm going to tell everyone every time they ask me.
How would they know who he is, Derek? If he doesn't make the announcement.
Because every time somebody says Danny Rand, oh, the billionaire?
No, yeah. No, I'm the immortal Iron Fist.
So if you have any thoughts on the Defenders and want to join the conversation, give us a call, 909-360-8330, or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
This is ChaoticRadio.com.
Oh, hi-ho, everyone. This is Kermit the Frog. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Tonight, guys, we are talking about Marvel's The Defenders on Netflix. It came, it went, it did things, and we're going to talk about it. So
it's alive!
Spoiler alert! We're gonna talk all about it.
Yeah, look, we do our best to give you as much time as possible between when we watch it and when it's time to talk about it.
That's right.
And week to week, you got.
And considering it was only 8 episodes,
you
got no excuse. So don't
season,
please don't cry. Yeah. Like
even Danny, who has trouble getting through these things sometimes.
I spent 2 days.
Yeah,
I was good.
Yeah. Done.
If Danny can get through it before our episode, you can too. <You're
kidding>. This is one of those moments where I wish the
cameras were working just to get that slow.
I wish the streaming computer was working because that was
good to be back,
funny.
Guys. It's good to be back. We haven't been all together in a while. This is good.
So I know we're kind of on different levels of our thoughts on this show. Danny actually enjoyed it. You enjoyed it for the most part until a certain point in the show, and I was enjoying it very early on, and then it went from there. So let's get into this right now. How do we want to handle this? So
I want to listen to your guys' reactions, and then I'm going to temper mine back depending.
Well, let's just give like a quick overview of the show. So obviously the beginning of the season is kind of reintroducing us to these characters, kind of recapping how their last seasons ended in a way that was not. I don't think it really. I was starting the show going, fuck, I should have watched the last episode of each of these. That's really how.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for Jessica Jones, you really don't need to because I mean, you pretty much know solidly where that one.
Yeah,
ended.
But it definitely for things like Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Daredevil.
Well, Daredevil especially because that one I think had the longest.
Daredevil
kind of
in particular, I feel like you really needed to watch where he ended up. And if you didn't like Jessica Jones, and even though her ending was definitive, if you didn't like Jessica Jones, like you probably needed to watch that last episode to really get where she ended up. Mm-hmm. Luke Cage, I feel like, is the same way because it took me a minute to kind of figure out where everybody was at.
Yeah, but also this. this season of television was really so focused on things that were established in Daredevil and Iron Fist that you really probably could have not watched Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. Yeah. And they kind of went off like, hey, he's out of prison and, oh, she killed someone and she feels bad about it. So you probably could have done without those, but seriously, there was so much stuff that was established in Daredevil, especially season two of Daredevil and Iron Fist, that if you didn't see those, you'd probably be like, huh?
Yeah.
Although you probably wouldn't have your feelings probably wouldn't change about certain characters.
So if we're gonna do a blanket overview, I feel like this show had a pretty big misstep in where they put their focus, and that bothered me because I wanted to love this show and I walked away feeling just okay. Mm-hmm. I think it starts off pretty strong. I think the first couple of episodes really set a precedent for bringing everybody together. But the longer it goes and the more you see where their focal points lie and the story that they want to tell and how poorly they tell that story, the more that show as a whole just falls apart. And so I felt myself by the time you got to 6, 7, 8, it was just kind of like, no, I'm not on board with where you're going with this. And I didn't really care for the last three episodes, I think.
Yeah, and it felt like that the show really was just trying to force this, like, please like Iron Fist, please. Yes. But they didn't do anything with Iron Fist to make you like him more.
Right.
In fact...
yeah. You kind of end up not liking him a little
bit. You kind of hate him more.
Come episode 7.
God damn it.
I have never wanted to punch a superhero in the dick so hard as in that episode. And so here's the thing. The Hand, who is this super secret ninja organization... except they don't do ninjas anymore, apparently.
One of them just have assholes.
Actually,
two of them were ninjas.
No, they just have assholes with machine guns. That's the Hand.
Yeah. Sure, they were ninjas.
Okay.
They never dressed like ninjas.
No, they never dressed
They
like
just
ninjas.
Had blades.
Yeah.
So, and whatever. Apparently, the thing that was established in season two of Daredevil, where they learned how to hide their heartbeats, that's all gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, nobody pays attention to that at all.
Including the fucking masters of the organization. That's all gone. Daredevil can just be like,
yeah,
there's two of them.
Which,
and they're super
which is
strong.
One of the coolest fucking things about Daredevil season two.
Yep. The five fingers of the Hand. They don't do a lot. Yeah, they don't. Nor do we learn much about them, which is really sad. So the five fingers of the Hand are Madame Gao, who we've learned a lot about over the course of Daredevil and Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. She's also probably one of the most interesting characters because you're like, this bitch, she is the little finger of...
She's the pinky of the Hand.
Yeah.
The little finger.
She really is. But she's the most manipulative. Like, every time
she gets
you see her, you're like, oh, this bitch, she's going to survive because she knows how to play the game.
And she's not always on board with the Hand's plan,
but
she's also not on board with their... And she constantly goes back and forth. And and that's where I felt like the show just fucking failed us completely. It's like, Madame Gao, you have put her in... What, four of these series now? Because she's been in Daredevil season 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. She was also in Luke Cage, and now she shows up in The Defenders.
Was she in Luke Cage?
No, she was in Iron Fist.
Was it Iron Fist?
She was in Iron Fist.
She was in Iron Fist. Okay. Yeah. So, I get it. You didn't want to watch Iron Fist. I understand. But this is her fourth appearance in this Marvel series, and I know less about her than I did when she started in Daredevil 1.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because she is such a compelling character that I want to know more about where she comes
she's
from.
We've never been given the Fisk treatment.
Yes, right. Her. And you should. If you're if she's going to be the character that's going to show up in four separate series, then I need to know who she is. I get it. She's Madame Gao. I get that she's a part of the Hand, but that is not enough if she's going to keep showing up.
She has power?
We never know anything about her. I know more about Wilson Fisk as a villain in one series than I do about anybody else that has come after him. And she has had four appearances as a villain.
And honestly, yes, she hasn't been given that level of treatment, but the fact that we have seen her so much, we do know more about her than we, honestly, any other member of the Hand.
True.
And that's an issue, because we have two members that are supposed to be, the Five Fingers are supposed to be the ultimate badasses of the Hand. And we've already met other members of the Hand who are super badass.
Right.
Like the I don't even remember his name, but the main ninja from Daredevil season one.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes back in two, I think, or maybe he was the main, but you know who I'm talking about, right?
Shinobi. We just call him Shinobi.
That guy. Like, he was supposed to be super badass.
Right.
But he wasn't even one of the Fingers.
Yeah.
Right?
The guy who taught him.
Yeah,
one of the Fingers.
He was like a wart or something.
A wart on the Finger.
I don't know all the terminology they use, but I assume that's something.
He was one of the.
They're going with a hand analogy.
The carpals and the Fingers.
He was a fingernail. He was one of the five fingernails.
Yeah, he's a cuticle. Right. I get it.
He's the weapon of a finger.
The nail
that they use to claw it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
But I agree with you, because that's one of the things that was so frustrating is, like, you set this potential to tell a fantastic story of five badasses that are tied to Kung Lung, who have discovered how to live through the ages, and they are it. Right. Everything stops and ends with them.
But the problem is that two of these were established on other shows.
Right.
And that's fine. But there's five total, and three of them are just going to magically appear here, especially knowing that one of them so easily could have made an appearance in Luke Cage.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And should
absolutely.
Have. Absolutely. No, there shouldn't have been a Diamondback. There should have been this guy.
Oh, oh, right.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Fuck Diamondback. No. Fuck that guy. No, look, if you are going to kill one of your best villains in episode 7 and replace him with a run-of-the-mill psychopath, but you've got this other Hand, the fucking member of the Hand who is running shit in Harlem, and that's who you decide to not go... Fuck you! Fuck you! That's terrible storytelling.
Yep. And also, this guy... He's given such poor treatment in the show that we don't see him do anything, and then he gets knocked into a thing, and then, like, Luke Cage gets knocked into a thing, and then suddenly he just shows up with him, and he's like, yeah, I got him. That's how badass I am. And you're like, could we have seen that? that probably would have been very
entertaining. That would have been fun. I would have enjoyed watching you square off against the main member of the fucking Hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't. He just magically captures them, and we're all supposed to go along with that. Yeah. Like, sure.
Yeah.
Last time we saw him, he got hit by a bus.
I remember when that happened, and I was just like, but you're not gonna show us?
Less is more, Derek.
Okay. Less is more. No, but actually, that is one of the things that I don't like about this show, about the Defenders, is that this show suffered from not having enough episodes. Which is weird, because a lot of the Marvel TV series struggle from having too many.
Yeah.
And so if you really, like, I mean, not that I hate this, but when you put it on Iron Fist is like five episodes too long. Like, that story takes way too long to get going. And once it does, it could have ended way too early. And even some of the better shows, I think, like Luke Cage, I think Luke Cage could have been shortened. I really do think that that could have been a solid 10 episode show rather than a 13 episode show. So when you get to the Defenders and you have four characters that have all had 13 episodes, and then you want to crunch it to 8 and bring them all together, like, so much stuff gets missed, like we talked about with the Hand, where it's like, you've got five fingers of the Hand, and they are, like, they're tied to Kung Lung, and they're powerful, and they've lived through the ages, but we don't get really anything about them, other than that basic exposition, and it's like, but no, I want to learn about Alexandra. And every time she talks about where she's been, like...
Can we talk about that? What did you guys think of Sigourney Weaver in this?
I thought she was great. I
thought she was so underused.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely 100%. Underused.
Yeah.
It's, and like he just touched on, there's these moments where she gives these allusions to
Constantinople.
Yeah, Constantinople and the music that, you mm-hmm. know, like she was there when it was created. And you're like, oh shit, we go into a flashback. We go into a flashback.
Nope. That costs money. This
so
is
we're, so we're not we're, so we're not going to a flashback. Okay. All right. Fine. And it, yeah, it's one of those things where like there is some interesting story.
Yes.
With her character.
Yes.
And we never get it.
Yeah. And I think that could have been done to everyone in the hand, and that would have made it. It would have made anything that happens to them carry more weight. And that was my biggest issue with them, is that they've got a great backstory on paper, but it's never really exposed to the extent that you would want in a series. And I think if you would have just given it two more episodes, and every time one of these fingers of the hand shows up, you give just a little bit of backstory.
Yeah, like, we don't need a ton.
Yeah, we don't need a ton. Just like you said, if she's like, oh yeah, it was called Constantinople, and then you fucking do a quick little flashback of 30 seconds of her in Constantinople, like way back in the fucking day, that's enough for me to be like, oh shit, this bitch is ancient. Like, I can't just take her at her word if you're gonna make her this unkillable villain that has been around yeah. for thousands of years. Like,
when they finally team up, when the team first comes together accidentally, and then they all have, they like retreat and they're at that Chinese shop or whatever, yeah. that restaurant there, and then she shows up, like, magically, and you're like, what the fuck? And she does the thing like, I've known many Iron Fists and you're the dumbest, which is a great line, by the way.
It is hands down. It's like the writers knew Danny Rand is awful, and they were like, yeah, let's just give them what they want.
But that also is a great, like, we could have gotten some cool flashback of her whooping ass on other Iron Fists.
Yeah,
or
for sure.
Something.
Yeah, just even if she monologues, God, just commit the worst villain sin you possibly can and let her monologue about all the Iron Fists she's gone through. It would honestly make everything about that character better. She would be more villainous, she'd be more intimidating, and when she finally gets taken out, that would have a more dramatic effect. Even though we've already done that before, if I knew more about her, and I had watched her take out five Iron Fists in a flashback, I would honestly be like, oh shit, Elektra just took out this bad bitch, but instead I was like, eh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't care.
And that plot point right there where Elektra takes out Alexandra, I couldn't care less. It was just like, this makes no sense, but all right.
Yeah, and it was one of those two where when Sigourney Weaver is giving her Sam Jackson from Deep Blue Sea speech, right? And you kind of know, like when she's giving the speech, the way the camera was positioned and everything, you're like, oh, she's about to die.
Yeah, and, oh, for sure.
So any minute now, a shark's going to jump out of nowhere.
Yeah, and when it happens, if it would have been like another, and I hate having to say this because we already didn't get to know enough about the members of the hand that we have, but if it had been like somebody, you know, who is like, I'm the fucking Palm, motherfuckers, and he was this uber badass of the hand that we'd never met, I probably would have been more okay with it. But the fact that it was just Elektra, who's just like, his name is Matthew. And I was like, wait, what? And then she goes on this weird, like, I'm not good, but I'm not bad. I'm out for me, and I really want whatever is behind door number one. So let's do that. Y'all work for me now. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, it was a weird. It just takes such a weird turn. Like that episode, just, I don't know. It never sat right with
and,
me. And it
and look for me, what would have fixed a lot of things? Because look, I'm a simple man. Okay, and I just need simple things. And even without the backstory, it would have bugged me still. But if when the other members of the hand were like, she's gone too far. She's caused the death of one of our members. She hasn't delivered. She needs to be taken out. And when dude, like, who magically just showed up in this season, who we don't learn anything about, who's supposed to be the
Shinobi
super badass.
Too.
Yeah.
The Japanese butcher.
When the Japanese guy who can clearly understand English but fucking refuses to speak it, when he shows up.
He's like the Chewbacca of the hand.
When he shows up at her place and he's like, I wanted your last meal to be a good one. And you're like, oh my god, oh my god, they're gonna have a boss fight. They're gonna have a boss fight. It's gonna be a boss off. It's gonna be two fingers poking each other. Whatever. I don't know what the metaphor is, but you're like, they're gonna fight. We're gonna see them fight. Yes, yes, yes. And then Elektra shows up with Danny Rand and ruined everything.
Yeah, no, it was a huge fucking letdown.
Even if they started the fight and then she shows up and stops it.
Yes.
That would have been something. But don't give me this where Alexander's like, you came by yourself. We're like, oh, god damn it. This is going to be so good right now.
And I was really waiting for a get away from her, you bitch.
And look, don't give me that shit that Sigourney Weaver's too old to do. Look, I don't give a fuck if you CGI Sigourney Weaver into this fight scene. Like, just make it happen. Yeah. Like, that is so much more dramatic than anything else that you did.
If you can make Bruce Willis, right, and all the other fuckheads who are 60 plus in red look like badasses... You can make Sigourney Weaver look
Helen
like
Mirren
a badass.
Helen Mirren can be a badass. Yeah, so fuck can Sigourney
you.
Weaver.
You're absolutely right. If Helen Mirren can look badass shooting a Gatling gun.
If fucking like, John Malkovich can be an assassin.
Yeah. Anything is possible, fucking Marvel.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. And it was so undercut and so just, I felt like this series constantly failed to make good on the things that I wanted it to do. Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect example where it's like, you've got the perfect setup. The setup for that is fucking amazing. Even down to this dude putting on his fucking assassin gloves. And you're just like, let's fucking get it. Okay. All right. Yep. Well, there's no fight scene in this, guys.
It was just
so let down.
There was so much of the, we're going to tease you with greatness.
Yes.
And then not deliver on that. Yes. Like I said, with the flashbacks or that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Or this fight between these two badasses that never happens.
Right.
And we never get to see Sigourney Weaver really do anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
She doesn't do anything really.
She has a few good moments of like lines, like good lines.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
I think, she was just there for star power.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it really was. And maybe that was supposed to be their big twist, but you didn't do it in a way because I didn't care enough about her character.
Right.
That when she died, I was just like, oh, that was a thing that happened on this show.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just
no,
never,
100%.
It never got there.
She died and I was like, oh, okay. Like, it had no dramatic effect on me whatsoever. Like, it did not shock me in any way.
And it felt like, for me, the problem was that the whole plot of this series felt that way.
Yes.
It felt like it wasn't planned.
Right.
Like, we established this big fuck-off hole and the fact that they can bring people back from the dead, but it looked like bringing them back was a pretty significant process. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now this big hole has been dug for this thing that's been locked away by the Iron Fist, and we need to get at it because that's what's beyond this door is what we need to bring ourselves back from the dead, right? First off, why was the Iron Fist so fucking far underneath New York to seal this? When was that topside? When was that a thing?
It doesn't
And then
matter.
When we finally get down there and they open this door to this thing and it's like, yes, when we open this, New York will fall. But it's just dragon bones.
It's just the hollowed out carcass of a dragon.
It's just like...
Hey, how the fuck did it get there?
Yeah, exactly. That's my whole thing. And it's like, and you guys, you harvested some of the dragon bones and... I mean, the bedrock seemed fine, guys. It didn't. Yeah, nothing collapsed. And why would it? Why couldn't it just? And maybe that was their intention. Like they wanted it to fall. I guess. Possibly. Who knows? Suddenly they're the fucking League of Shadows from Batman Begins. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, and I agree. And their motivations were so unclear. And then even when it was revealed what their motivations are, it was so muddled in this lore that was never really explained to us. Mm-hmm. That like. okay, great. You uncovered dragon bones.
Yeah.
So...
But also, okay. Didn't they make it sound like what was ever, whatever was on the other side was like in another dimension?
Yeah, yes. I thought it was going to be like Kung Lun.
Yeah, and I thought it was going to be Kung Lun too.
But that wasn't the case. Instead, it ends up being this, like from Robin Hood Men in Tights, and it's like, hey guys, I'm on one side, I'm on the other side. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
He just shattered this door, and it's like, hey, why didn't we just go around?
Yeah,
like,
if
all it was a door to these bones, why didn't we just tunnel in from the other side, guys?
And I feel like they tried to act like it was, like, because Danny Rand made some fucking mention of, like, oh, you guys are disrespecting the creature, and she was like, you punched his heart out. But, okay.
That didn't make any sense either.
It didn't make any sense, because we don't know where this is fucking taking place.
It's like, is this the same dragon? Is it a different dragon? Is it one of Daenerys' dragons? Like, what?
It's actually Viserion. Actually, after the Night King loses, and then it dies, and then it gets buried under New York.
It's all connected.
It's all connected, guys. Jon Snow knows nothing.
I just never fucking cared about the plot enough. Okay, so we've talked a lot about that, but let's talk about our heroes, shall we? Okay,
oh, yeah, right. Sure.
Because I mean, the show is called The Defenders, so
is that what it's about?
Yeah, I think their catchphrase was, "If we can't save New York, you can sure as hell bet we're gonna defend." Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
So actually, when the defenders inevitably fail. The Avengers avenge it.
Yes, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it is.
No, that's what happens.
You can
luckily
we may not be able to defend New York,
but they'll avenge it.
They will. They'll avenge it.
I guess we're some kind of defenders now, huh?
So we're the first line.
So the series kicks off with this whole, like, the plot just revolves around Iron Fist.
From the moment
this, we're trying to make Iron Fist a thing, guys.
Dude, it is so frustrating. Like, I need Marvel and Netflix to just embrace that Danny Rand and Finn Jones and the Iron Fist are not three things that need to go together. Like, he is a terrible choice. They fucked up and they ruined a potentially great character. They just need to admit it. Like, I'm sorry. They just need to do it. Because this show fucking opens with Danny Rand. It is basically Iron Fist episode 14 in The Defenders. And it is so frustrating because you learn very quickly in the first minute that it is him and Colleen and they're hunting the Hand. And what is Danny Rand doing? He's fighting the Hand. But oh, is he lighting his fist up? To fight the... No! He's not fucking being the Iron Fist!
Well, you see, Derek, when you've exhausted your chi energy, you have to wait so many hours.
God damn it!
You need to eat a lot of Chinese food, apparently.
Fuck you!
And even though Bakuto taught him how to kind of harness the chi faster in the previous season,
like,
he doesn't know how to do that.
No, fuck him. He spends so much time telling everybody about how he is the goddamn immortal Iron Fist that never uses the fucking Iron Fist.
But see, Derek, if you pay attention, doing certain things as the fist use more chi than doing other things. And so, if you were to step into a hallway, into a room, and use the fist to shatter a sword, thus saving Daredevil, you need time to do
I'm not buying any of this. I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not down. Okay. I can't even tell, aside from all the other things I shouted whenever he was on screen, the amount of times I shouted in this season of, use your fucking fist! Like, why? Why would you not? Even if it had a limited amount of time to which you could use it, he uses it less than that time. Even if it was an ultimate in Overwatch, he doesn't use it enough. It's so fucking annoying. So irritating.
And also, he doesn't use it when he should. That's the part of the problem. Like, if the first time he meets Luke Cage and he punches Luke Cage, I want to say like 1,000 times.
To no avail.
Before he realizes,
yeah.
Oh, maybe this isn't working.
Maybe just once you should realize that...
Well, he was trying to light up the eyes.
But I feel like the first time that you punched Luke Cage, and this is something I don't think that they show enough with regard to Luke Cage, is that his skin is supposed to be like punching fucking steel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's not enough people that hit him and then go, oh, my fucking hand's broken.
Right.
And that's the thing.
Yeah, they showed it once.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's basically the Colossus without the transformation. Yeah. Like, and that's his skin.
And so the first time anybody hits him, they should be like, I probably shouldn't do that again.
Yeah.
And Danny, while being the immortal Iron Fist, as he will tell you...
He's like a vegan.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. He is the vegan of the fucking Defenders.
But he's not like, he's not the Iron Fist when his hand's not glowing. So the first time he hits Luke Cage, he should have been like, I probably shouldn't do that again.
Yeah.
But instead, he continues to punch and punch and kick and punch and pit and all this shit until finally he's like, light it up. And
then light up the fist, boys.
Yes. And so, you know, and you're right. It's super frustrating. So this series did. It felt like they were like, hey, guys, I know you didn't like him in his show, but you're going to love him here.
No.
And then you don't.
Yeah. No. And that is single-handedly the biggest problem with the show. Aside from it just being eight episodes long and us not getting enough information about the villains. It is so Danny Rand-centric, and this show can only be as good as its weakest character. And if you take somebody like Danny Rand / the Iron Fist and make him central, the show is going to suffer because his solo show was not nearly as good as anybody else's. Even if you weren't on board with the polarizing kind of Luke Cage where you're like, I'm not really down. Or even if you didn't like Jessica Jones, like... Daredevil is so good, and like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage are weighed against that. So even if you didn't care for them, when Iron Fist comes out, it's almost like you have to like them more because the Iron Fist is so bad. And then you take the worst character and make him the most important character of all of them coming together.
Well, and the thing is with his character is he, and I will argue this point with anybody on his own series, that Danny Rand is still the little boy that crashed with his parents.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
He's been taken from our world into another dimension, and all he's been trained to do since then is fight and become the Iron Fist. He's never really learned how to become an adult in our society.
Sure.
And so when he first shows back up in his own show, I felt like they captured that very well.
Right.
Like, he's like, oh, like, he trusts everybody. He has tantrums like a kid would have.
Yeah, for sure.
But he never has the growth that that character should have. And also, Finn Jones is just terrible at portraying, like, that. A childlike character could be presented in a way that still makes him likable and that he still would have those moments, those tantrums.
Yeah.
But, like, my girlfriend points out, Finn Jones plays the character like he's always smelling a fart. Like that's the face that he always has.
It's so true. It's so true. And then, to my gripe, he doesn't have enough of being the Iron Fist to make that issue valid. Like, it doesn't compensate for him being this child fish out of water, and then he becomes the Iron Fist, and it's like, oh, okay, we get it. Like, all he's done is train to be this person. But he never fucking bees that person. So it's like, so you're not going to be the Iron Fist, and then you're just going to bitch about being the Iron Fist like you're a goddamn toddler, and then that's it. Those are the only two emotions that we get. And honestly, that makes that character completely unlikable. Like, there's nothing about that that makes me want to watch him. And he doesn't grow. I get it that, like, the fighting style was a little bit better, but, like, he's still just as fucking annoying when he shows up. Yeah. Like, there's no difference in his character.
No, my girlfriend didn't watch Iron Fist. She didn't see the show, his show at all.
Yeah.
And so she just saw him here, and she hated him by the end of it.
Yeah.
And we really need to, because we're running out of time, we need to get onto the other characters, but I just want to mention, because it was the most infuriating fucking thing of the whole show for me, is, again, it's all about him, and they need him to open this door, which is what the hand needs, to get the stuff that makes them live forever, okay? So at the end, Elektra, she gets him. She takes him down to the place, and he says, I know what you want me to do, and I'm not going to do it. It's not going to work. I counted this out, within 30 seconds of him saying, I know what you want, and I ain't going to give it to you, he fucking gives it to her. And it's, it's so frustrating. It's like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. The Saban's Power Rangers, the remake, the movie, it is that levels of frustrating for me.
Yeah, it is so, like, it's so infuriating that Mike voxed me because he watched it before and he was like, hey, when you get to this moment and you'll know what moment I'm talking about, please let me know because I need to vent about it. And he didn't tell me where it was or when it was coming. And as soon as I watched it, I immediately voxed it. Fuck this guy. Are you fucking... Like, I unloaded, and he was like, yeah, I know. I did the same thing. Like, it is so dumb. Like, when they say he is the dumbest Iron Fist ever, they fucking mean it, and you believe them. Yeah. Like, it's so irritating.
And it is one of those where suddenly he can maintain the fist for an hour and a half.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he can keep it lit up.
He was inside of Shao Lao.
No, fuck you. That whole thing is so fucking dumb.
He was inside the dragon the whole time.
If you notice, the power behind the wall of the dragon.
But also, you're supposed to be this great fighter, and you can't tell me that you didn't know she was guiding the fight towards the wall? And, like, once you see that it's like, you're like, whoa, dude, I am super close to this wall. I should probably turn this shit off right now.
Yeah.
Because that's what opens it. Fuck you.
No.
Anyway.
No. It would have been better if he just didn't say anything about it at all.
Yeah.
And then she, like, insulted Kung Lung, and he was like, bitch. And then he lights up his fist, and then she tricks him. But the fact that he acknowledges that that's what he's doing, and then 15 seconds later, he's like, don't talk about my Kung Lung, and then fucking lights up. God damn it. It was so annoying. It was so mad.
It wasn't even that much goading.
Yeah, it
was just like, the bodies. And he was like, the fucking bodies, no!
It's just like,
you can't let the bodies hit the floor!
Hey, Danny, water sucks. Gatorade's better.
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much... She literally was just like, Kung Lung sucks. And he was like, what'd you say about my mama? And then lost his shit. Like, that's it. That's all that happened.
And again, if I try to take it from the perspective that he's still that little kid, and little kids fucking will snap on a dime.
No!
But he should, at this point, he's been around our society and the hand long enough that he should have had some character growth. But instead, he's just Iron Fist Ex Machina for the bad guys. And it's bullshit.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. 100%.
And maybe we'll go a few minutes over tonight because we need to talk about the finale, which is where I think the show had the most problems for me.
Okay.
But the other heroes, let's run that down because I thought everyone else did a great job.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie Cox, I don't think he can do anything bad. Like, everything I've seen him in, both seasons of Daredevil, a couple of movies I've seen him in.
Stardust,
yeah.
He's great in Stardust.
He's so great in Stardust. He just brings an energy to whatever he's in, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he also, like, especially when you compare it to somebody like Finn Jones, where you watch Charlie Cox, and you are just like, oh, you fucking put in the work. Like, you were not a ninja before, you were not a fighter before, you didn't have a fucking six-pack, ripped abs, and you were like, oh, I'm gonna be Daredevil, I'm gonna be a fucking gangster.
Well, here's the thing.
And, like, you put in the work to be Daredevil.
How, like, often is it him doing, like, the flips and spins and all that? That's not him, right?
But it's not even, the thing is, like, he does so much on his own
yeah, yeah.
that even if you substitute a stuntman, he looks so good doing what it is he does that you don't even recognize it. Yeah. Whereas when it comes to somebody like Finn Jones, you know damn well he's not doing any of that.
Yeah, and I don't think he's necessarily doing all the parkour and shit like that, but a lot of the fighting is actually him.
Yeah.
In fact, that the hallway sequence from the original Daredevil, that is him.
That's him, yeah.
And it's just a testament to Charlie Cox as an actor who is like, okay, I'm going to take on this role. He basically does the Keanu Reeves thing where he's like, yeah, I'm basically just going to be a black belt ninja for the rest of my life. But that makes for so much of a better character because we don't have to worry about whether or not he knows how to do fight choreography. We just have to focus on who he is as Daredevil. And then that makes him 1,000 times more compelling because now we care about him as a character and as a person and as a superhero. And in both seasons and in the Defenders, he's firing on all cylinders. Like even in this episode, even in this series where he is torn between trying to go back and not wanting to, like I fucking feel for him. I feel for him because of everything that he's done before.
And honestly, like him partnered up with Jessica Jones.
Oh,
yeah. I love their back and forth.
It's so great. And
chemistry that was just amazing.
Again, Jessica Jones is another character who Ritter just embodies that shit talking, booze drinking person. She does it so well that even when she gets paired with somebody and she's forced to do good, she's still fucking Jessica Jones, and it's great. Like, their banter when they first get to Midland Circle, and she just fucking shits on him as they're about to attack the... Like, it's so good, and it's... Those are the kinds of things you expect from these characters, and you get that from... You get that from Daredevil, you get that from Luke Cage, you get that from Jessica Jones. And I thought all of them actually operated really, really well.
What's the line she has? She's like, you look ridiculous. It's your scarf.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that their little back and forth?
What? There's something else she says to him when they first show up, and she threatens him with something, and it's... I was like, oh, she got bars. She's still the queen of shit-talking.
Yeah.
So as far as the other characters go, I thought they melded well together. I thought they did great. And honestly, my biggest complaint is that we didn't see them together enough.
Yeah.
That was my biggest complaint, is that every time they'd come together, they'd find a way to split them up. And it was like, well, that's not the Defenders. That's just setting up for their individual series, and that's not the point of the show.
Although...
It's Marvel's...
But it is now, and that's...
Chemistry. It's
They'll come together when
there's a great threat, then we'll split them up. No, there's not going to be any interaction.
Yeah, I did not like that.
But it really did. It felt like we're just like, hey guys, we need to really just set up their next seasons. We'll just make 8 episodes of television that's just going to set up their next seasons. And it kind of did feel that way. First off, there was too many side characters.
Yes.
Yeah, Malcolm, I don't think we needed as much Malcolm, as much Foggy.
Nope. Especially near the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they were all at the police station, it's like, let's just slow the fuck down. I think
Claire's one of those characters that could have stayed on because she has been the continuous character throughout all of these series.
And her, I didn't mind. Her and Colleen, I actually didn't mind. And even Misty, I didn't mind Misty Knight.
And actually, I don't know if we necessarily needed as much of her, but the fact that they set up the comic book reference.
Yes.
Like, for her.
You're going to have to key me into that, because I don't know a whole lot about Misty.
Her character, she, aside from having some kind of, like, psychic abilities to, like, see things, she, in the comics, she has a cyborg arm.
Oh.
And so, when she got her arm cut off, I was like, oh, shit! She getting a cyborg arm! Like, I was very excited about that. But, you know, did we really need that here?
Right.
No, that could have easily been addressed in their own show.
I mean, yes, but I think, you know, going up against the hand, losing an appendage
makes sense.
No, and it's all well and fine, but it's like, this is a show that's supposed to be about them. It's supposed to be about the Defenders, and it felt they spent so much time on these side characters that I never got that feeling. Like we were talking about where they split them all up. They do that and then they just completely transition to the side characters where it's like Colleen has an entire story arc, which is fine, but she's not a defender. Like Misty Knight has an entire story arc, but she's not a defender. Even Claire, who I get is the only person that knows all of them, she's got an entire story arc from beginning to finish. And it's like, that's not why I'm not tuning in to see the how Foggy and Claire and all these Karen and all these people end up. I don't care. I want to see the defenders.
Even in our big finale, our final episode, there was a lot of cutting back to these side characters having conversations that I could give a shit about.
Yeah.
And it's not even, it does nothing that furthers the plot. She's like, where do you think they are? I don't know. What do you think they're doing? I don't know.
That's all shit that could have been addressed in Daredevil season 3. Like, it's just not something that needs to be done here.
Yeah. And so I think we have to address this. We have to, because it's the end of the series, and I think it's, for me, it's what kind of ruined it for me. And again, I don't want people to think I hated the show, because I didn't. I thought there were very good parts of the show.
Yes.
And I thought that it did set up things nicely for their own seasons.
Yeah. And I will say, I thought when they did things right, they did it very, very well. Yes. Like the beats that they hit well are awesome.
But here is for me what was not very good. So, in just speaking, and I guess for plot, like as a visual, I'm not a filmmaker, but I watch a lot, and so I know what I like to see and what for me makes a good end to something. And when you have an organization like the Hand, and you have these five fingers, what I want to see is my team finally coming together and taking on these people in a way that is entertaining. And so when we have this building and they need to work their way down the building into the ground, I want to see our heroes fight the Hand, i.e. ninjas, in the building, working their way through hallways and stairways and stuff like that on their way down. Just the routine faceless ninjas.
Give me the run-of-the-mill story. Yeah. Just give it to me.
And I want to see it in a way that makes our team look like a team and highlights each member. Because if you take that final fucking fight with just people in suits and the fingers and Elektra all together at the bottom of the fucking hole, it was the most unentertaining fight sequence I have. It was CW fight sequence.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Is what that was.
I agree. It was a huge letdown.
And actually, I've seen better fight sequences on Arrow than this shit.
Diggle has had a better fight sequence.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. Don't give Diggle that.
Yeah, I don't know if I could say that. But, I mean, I want you guys to picture a hallway with members of the Hand. Not like, you got guys with guns, and you got guys with swords, right? And you have fucking Luke Cage leading the way, fucking taking bullets, okay? And then you have Daredevil or Iron Fist. I don't give a shit which. Like, maybe both of them parkouring over him at these dudes, right? Maybe Jessica Jones, maybe you don't even see her. And then suddenly she fucking punches through a wall and grabs one of these assholes and throws him down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You got ninjas coming up and they fucking attack and their swords just shatter over Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And then he does some shit. You know what I mean?
You're giving me a noner.
But that's the thing. That is what was missing. And they had these slight moments of it. Like they even showed, there was one part in that hallway fight where it was Danny Rand and Luke Cage. And Danny Rand is like punching a bunch of people and three dudes line up to shoot at him. And Luke Cage stands in front of him, takes all the shots, and then Danny Rand comes around and fights. And like, I'm like, dude, just do that shit. Every time they get together, do shit like that.
Like, I was like, that's Heroes for Hire right
there. But exactly. And it's like they do it once. They do it once in an entire 8-episode series. Because that last fight, it was such a huge... And even their whole plot of how they're going to defeat the Hand by blowing up a building and sinking it into the hole, it just felt... it felt so contrived and just not like, how is that a Defenders thing? Like, I just, yeah. I don't know. I didn't care for their whole, that whole sequence. Right. From beginning to end, no, it was just such a letdown.
It was boring.
Yeah, no, right? And there's no reason that Calling Wang should have a better fight scene than all of your defenders downstairs. Like, and that fight scene had more meaning. Like, these are characters that like have purpose and reason to be fighting each other. And when it ends, you're like, oh yeah, that's a character arc. Like, tie that bow off and like. But none of our characters have that.
No, and that's the thing. Like, we should have gotten the gratuitous action, like with just scores of faceless bad guys on their way down to the bottom of the hole. And when they got to the bottom of the hole, that's when we should have had our face off with our bosses.
Yes.
And Elektra.
Yes.
Because throughout this whole show, we've seen Elektra wreck the entire team by herself.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she can't handle them with the fingers and the fucking faceless bad guys.
Yep.
No, you have the faceless bad guys to wear our villains down. Then you have the boss fight with the big bosses, and that way we can showcase not only our heroes but also our bosses. Not this, they show up and sort of fight them at the beginning when they first get to the building, and then Colleen somehow shows up, and then they're like, ninja, vanish! And then they... like, and honestly, that... as much as I don't think that was the right way to do things, that fight was actually better to me with those few characters than the big fight at the end.
Oh, for sure.
Because we got to see Madame Gao being a fucking Jedi.
And that's what I mean? I had no idea she was a Force user. She's basically the Yoda of the hand, and I had no idea.
We got to see Daredevil just being Daredevil against, of the fingers.
Can I just say, this hand has been dealing with mystical fighters for their entire existence, where they have to face off against these legendary Iron Fists, and all of them come together to go, the devil of Hell's Kitchen is back. Like, that is their number one concern, is that Daredevil is back fighting. They could give a fuck about the Iron Fist. They only care that Daredevil has come back. Like,
well, and I think... yeah, for me, like, that was because they captured him. They needed to capture him, so they're like, whatever, bring us the Iron Fist. What about these friends? I mean, whatever. They're cool. They got superpowers. No, but the Devil of Hell's Kitchen has joined the fight.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. All right, guys, maybe we need to take this shit seriously. That's kind of how it
But no, that's exactly how it felt. And then when they have their final boss fight, like, he basically takes on two bosses at all times. Like, every single time he fights, they're like, all right, you go fight the hand, and we'll be here if you need us to break things. Like, that's...
and honestly, and I think for me, that's been my thing. And I'll say this with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with the X-Men movies, with anything like that. For me, even if your plot is a little bit subpar, if you have good action, I will probably... be okay with it, because at least you've entertained me. And that's all I want at the end of the day. I just want to be entertained. I just want to feel good about what I've watched and be like, holy shit, that was awesome. And so things like Civil War. Sure, Civil War's plot was not super great, but you cannot tell me those fucking action sequences of those heroes facing off with each other
were not... dude.
Visually so
they're visually so, and the fact that you, I mean, one of the things that Marvel does very well in that film is you introduce Black Panther, who, unless you are a diehard comic book fan, you've never fucking heard of this guy, and you make him the coolest fucking character using all the characters we already love. Like, that is incredible that guy pops up for two or three action sequences, and you're like, yes, I would like to watch an entire solo movie of the Black Panther kicking ass in every possible way. And I felt like they could not capitalize on that kind of grandeur and that kind of captivating action when it came to the Defenders, which is really unfortunate, because we've seen them all operate, aside from the Iron Fist, we've seen them all operate individually in fantastic ways, and it felt like the only one that got the proper treatment was Daredevil. He's the only one that, like, kept up his badass thing to the point where, like we said, even the hand was like, oh, I'm sorry, is Daredevil back? We need more men. Get more ninjas.
We're out of ninjas? Okay, just get the guys in the black suits. Yeah. Get them. Bring them down here.
We have any executives left in the building? Just get every fucking buddy down here. Call the police.
No, I don't care if Colleen called out sick. You fucking bring her ass down here.
Yeah. And so
cancel her maternity leave.
So at the end of the day, we're out of time. We're over time, and we have to stop. But there was a lot, actually, for me, a lot more problems with the show than we've gotten to address here tonight, involving the plot and stuff that it just felt like they didn't actually have a plan with the big hole and what the hand needed. Yeah. Because when we did get down to it, and it was this just dragon bones.
No, fucking call it that. Dinosaur bones. Yeah.
But it was just bones that they extract this substance from that lets them live forever, apparently.
Dino DNA.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's how it felt. And it was so convoluted and silly. And the fact that, like we've said before, we didn't get any flashbacks or anything about these five fingers of the hand that are supposed to be the most badass people in the world. We didn't know anything about them to where when they finally unleash the dinosaur bones, it's like, yeah, I don't care. Blow it all up. It matters. It doesn't matter to me at all.
Yeah. And honestly, when you, especially if you go from Daredevil and Madame Gao's interest in Fisk to where we are now, it makes no sense whatsoever. Because why would you be, like, Fisk wanted to basically recreate his own idea of what New York should be, right? Like, that was his thing. Like, I'm going to make this city the way I see it being perfect. And she was totally on board with that. But if your fucking plan was to open this door eventually and destroy New York, why did you give a shit? So for me, it was really like the writers overall just did not
have
a plan for this.
Yeah.
And I think their plan in the end just did not come together.
Yeah.
Now, again, so let's all go around the room real quick and just kind of give our thoughts on the show overall. And I'll start so you kind of get the idea of what I'm going for here. So I was entertained in parts of the show. Ultimately, it did let me down at the end. Once all was said and done, I do think they've done a good job at least piquing my interest for these own characters series on their own. So, like, yeah, I'm totally interested to see where Daredevil is. I don't think they needed to give us that reveal that he's still alive. Sure,
right.
Sure, we know he was still alive.
Yeah.
We didn't need to see it. You know what I mean? And that would have given us more interest for when his series came back. Yeah, I'm excited to see where Jessica Jones goes, where Luke Cage goes.
I'm excited to see. Well, here's the thing. At the end of Defenders, you see Danny Rand kind of taking up the mantle of the Devils of Hell, Hell's Kitchen. He's up on the roofs. He's listening to the violence. What I wanted to see, and what would have made it so much better, is him kind of copying the Daredevil mask style and putting on his own half mask.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
you know, like the Iron Fist?
Like the Iron Fist does. And honestly, I don't know why Marvel is so adamant about us, like, seeing Finn Jones and not somebody in a mask. Like, because that's a good way to, you know, take Finn Jones out of the equation and get somebody in there who actually knows how to punch and kick.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's... But like you said, yes, that's kind of the direction that they want us to go, but I don't care about him. Also, sure, he's standing on a rooftop listening to the crime, but he doesn't have super senses.
Right.
So to me, he's the dude. I made jokes about this in The Dark Crusader. Anytime you have, like, Batman standing on a fucking rooftop somewhere, and I made the joke in the, like, very first strip of somebody coming up and be like, hey, what you looking at? You know?
Crime. Don't you have a whole animated sketch about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and because, it's fantastic. It's because, so good.
Because you couldn't possibly be able to see what's going on down there.
But at least if they compensate for that in Daredevil, because he's got super senses.
Exactly.
So it makes sense that he's on a roof because he can hear better than anybody else, and he can zoom in on things that are super far.
But, yeah, and that's my point, is that Danny doesn't have super senses. And so
Mike, he's the immortal Iron Fist.
Standing on a rooftop, looking down, and you'd have somebody coming over, like, well, what are you looking at down there? I'm not really sure, but I'm the immortal Iron Fist.
That's cool. Is that like a vegan?
Yeah. It's kind of like a vegan. Like, I worry a lot about chi. I'm gluten-free. I do a lot of yoga,
a lot of meditation.
I do CrossFit. You can't tell, cause I've been really focusing on my vegan diet. But I do CrossFit, when it suits me.
So anyway, that's for me. Like I said, I was entertained, but ultimately I think they dropped the ball with the series. There's so much more they could have done. I think we could have gotten, better villains. We could have gotten more story, even if they would have given it just one or two more episodes where we could have had a little bit more backstory on Sigourney Weaver and then maybe not kill her the way they did. I mean, I don't have a problem with them killing her, but in the way that they did, where it had no meaning whatsoever, that was a big problem for me. So, Derek.
I am going to agree with you. I think overall, if I was gonna give it like an actual number, I think I would probably give it about a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I think when the show does things right, they do it very, very well. And there were moments of the show that I really loved, and I loved seeing certain characters come together, and I thought they melded well together, and I wanted to see more of that. Where the show fell apart for me is really in those last couple of episodes. I thought the finale was just not good. I did not think that it was a good end to how we see these characters come together. I thought making the show very Iron Fist centric was a huge misstep, especially because you knew we didn't care for this character. Like, so you either made the show before you made Iron Fist, or you made Iron Fist and thought you could make up for it by making him important in the show. And that's clearly not what we wanted. So I think those are things that really made me not enjoy it. And then again, when you come to the villains, you have already established that you are a better villain maker than all of the Marvel movies combined. Like, you've made Wilson Fisk. You've made Kilgrave. You made Cottonmouth before you killed him. Like, you've made these iconic villains that are so compelling and so fun to watch. So when you bring us the Hand, which is supposed to be the overall bad guy, and then you don't give us anything about them, it's hard for me to get on board. Like, I just, the whole time I kept thinking, like, okay, well, just bring Shades back if you're going to bring everybody else in here. Like, who that? You know what I mean?
You have an unnatural hard-on for that
guy.
No,
it's because
it's a doppelganger.
Yeah, it's because everybody that puts sunglasses on my face thinks I look like fucking Shades.
That's really all you need at the end of the day for Derek.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But yeah, like, I mean, at that point, like, just bring back villains that we care about. So make Wilson Fisk a part of the Hand in some way. It just, yeah. That kind of stuff just lacked so much for me. So I can't rate it. Obviously, it wasn't nearly as bad as Iron Fist, but they did a much better job when it comes to Daredevil season 2, even Jessica Jones. Luca, it falls just short of
honestly,
the great shows.
I honestly thought Iron Fist had a better, like a more compelling villain in the dad.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. As much as I didn't care about his story arc, he was a better villain.
Yeah, we got more story about him.
Yeah.
Danny?
I'm going to agree with both of you. I think it was entertaining, but when they did do something right, they did a good job, and I think ultimately, I think what it comes down to is it felt rushed. It felt panicked. Like, we have these characters. We promised the Defenders. We got to live up. Just get something out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I feel like Finn Jones and Danny Rand are kind of like the Wesley Crusher of the Defenders and this Netflix universe. Like, you want so bad to like him, but then he says something and you just went, shut up, Wesley.
Yes.
So I don't know. If they do a season 2, like, they really got to scale back like the Iron Fist character or just make him better.
Yeah, and I don't know that they'll do a Defenders 2.
I don't think they will.
I think now that they're going to do the Punisher, I don't think they're even going to have the capacity to be able to do that now.
I don't think they should either.
I mean, you could do the Defenders again and just bring the Punisher in to the
replace,
Iron Fist spot.
Replace
kill Danny Rand. Have Frank
Danny
Castle
Rand with the Punisher Rand.
Yeah.
and Yeah, Luke Cage and the Punisher are heroes for hire. That makes sense.
In fact, all I would need is if you start in the very first 5 minutes of the Defenders season two is just the Punisher shooting Danny Rand in the head and then telling everyone else he was going to betray you. I had to do it. I'd be like, sure.
Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, I never trusted that guy anyway.
Checks out, guys.
It's got Frank Castle aiming at Danny Rand. Danny Rand's, I'm the immortal. What?
Oh, he didn't light his chi. He's not immortal. Sorry, guys.
He was actually the leader of the hand.
That's why his hand glowed.
I'd be like, yeah, no, I get it. Makes sense.
Everything he's told you is fake news.
Why do we just make Frank Castle Donald Trump?
I have no idea. That was all Derek.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
I have no idea.
All right.
I basically hate the Iron Fist. That's what I'm saying.
Take that shit back right now. Yeah, I mean, if we're going to have to give it a number, like if you gave it a 3 out of 5.
I would probably give it a 2.7.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it was like good enough to be a 3.
I'd have to give it even lower than that. I'd probably go 2.5.
Okay. Yeah, it's in that ballpark.
2.5 yeah. Flashbacks that we didn't need, but not flashbacks that we did need.
Yeah.
Because there were flashbacks
in the show. Yeah, they weren't the ones we needed.
They were just from Daredevil, I guess, or probably not even from Daredevil. Yeah. I think they actually made the flashbacks that we got in the show
that we didn't need. Most of them just confused me more. They didn't help at all.
Because I was rewatching with my girlfriend, and the flashbacks were done in a way that you didn't know they were flashbacks.
Yeah.
And so you
for
were like,
sure.
Like, wait. What?
Why are they together?
Yeah. He was with Jessica Jones. Why is he now at home with Elektra?
At least put a filter on.
No, but the flashback, there was one with Stick and Elektra.
It's at the start
of an
episode.
And it's the start of an episode, and I'm like, aren't you fucking dead?
And actually, I know people who were like, oh, so Elektra's a good guy. She's just tricking everyone. And you're like, no, that's, she's no. Yeah, no.
But it was so misplaced, and it was like, why is this here? Like,
at least give me the wavy lines.
Or even the record scratch of like, hey, that's me. Guess you're probably wondering how I ended up with Stick.
Or the,
Just something.
Yeah, I was confused. For most of that episode, because I was like, Stick died. What is happening? Yeah.
So anyway, guys, that's what we thought. I wish we could talk more, but we actually talked probably too much Overwatch.
Yep.
I'm guessing.
We probably did. Yeah.
So anyway, that's what we thought. Do you have anything coming up?
I do, actually. Wednesday at 8 p.m., I am at the Ontario Improv. If you would like tickets, just message me or comment on any of my posts that you want tickets. I have a limited amount of free tickets to come to that show. Also, Saturday night, I'll be at the Ice House at 9 p.m. If you want free tickets to that, I have free tickets available for that as well. Limited guest list, so just hit me up and let me know, and I'll get you in for free.
All right, guys. New Dark Crusader comes out Tuesday. We are three strips away from the end of Season 3, and I guarantee you the final fight is going to be more entertaining than it was on the Defenders, guys. That's all I can tell you. And that's, you're just fucking looking at cartoons at that point. And it's going to be a better treat, let me tell you. And this episode, as always, will be available in podcast form on our website, jackofallnerdshow.com. You can listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you will be able to find it. So definitely hit it up, subscribe, give us a review, a like, all that kind of stuff. This has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.